We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between two and five players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
We'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to the Hogan Era Podcast. I am your host, JP John Pies, right here on the two-man power trip of wrestling's podcasting empire, part of the TMPT feed. I am, of course, the one-man power trip that runs the two-man power trip, the only man of the two-man power trip. Here each and every week on the show, we're talking about some of the greatest matches, moments, and feuds of all time, all predicating in that golden era of the WWF from 1984 to 1993, which is, of course, referred to as the Hogan era. Without Hulk Hogan, don't know where the wrestling business would be today. Without Hulk Hogan, I do not know if Vince McMahon would have been a multi-time billionaire. Each and every week here on the show, we are also talking about the other great stars of that era, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Macho Man Randy Savage, the Ultimate Warrior, Andre the Giant, King Kong Bundy, Big John Studd, the Big Boss Man, and so on. Not only are we talking about some of those guys, we're also talking about some other key players, some tag teams, some crazy gimmicks, and even today, like the guest, or not the guest, excuse me, like the focus will be, is an awesome wrestler known as Razor Ramon, a.k.a. Scott Hall. It's such an interesting story, such an interesting dynamic with Hall. It's almost like, okay, he was a star in the AWA. They had him as Diamond Stud in WCW. It almost seemed like, okay, 6'7", 280 pounds, looks like a million bucks, can talk, can work. This is a five-tool player, if you will. Can't miss talent. Well, he was definitely missed out by WCW. He ends up going to the World Wrestling Federation, the WWF, in 1992. And then became, obviously, when he went back to WCW in 1996, one of the biggest stars of all time and one of the most influential stars ever in the history of the business. But today, we'll just be focusing in on the Hogan era, of course. But got to mention this, because he was in the WWF prior to 1992. A lot of people may not know that. 8/23/1987, he was a part of a house show in Springfield, Mass. Jerry Allen and Scott Hall lose to Iron Mike Sharp and Barry Horowitz on that house show. Very, very interesting house show that day in 1987. Some may call it a little bit of a tryout match. The main event was Macho Man Randy Savage defeating the Honky Tonk Man by a countout. Then he had another match, 1/23/1990, a dark match, part of Wrestling Challenge 130 in Fort Myers, Florida. He lost that match to Paul Roma. Just when you look at it, you're like, okay, maybe they gave him a little tryout. They felt he maybe needed a little more seasoning. They weren't quite ready to bring him into the fold as of yet. So when he returned on 5/18/1992, that is his first true dark match after all those awesome vignettes that he did. I think a lot of people will kind of gravitate to those when they think about Razor Ramon, or they want to look him up on YouTube. There's so many cool, great vignettes, a part of his debut, and really, you know, before he debuts. And that was really the right way that they used to debut characters, with the vignettes. It just was like, I don't know, to me, the way to do it. Yeah, you have the tryout matches years before, but then when you start putting him in the vignettes and really start investing in him, if you will, then you start to realize, okay, this guy's got something. This is cool. I like this character. You really start to learn more about the character before he debuts. You become invested in the character even before he debuts. So when he comes back in 1992, he is, of course, now known as Razor Ramon. He's doing a kind of a Cuban-American bully gimmick from Miami. He really kind of modeled the character after Scarface, after Tony Montana's character, which was obviously played by the legendary Al Pacino in the great movie from 1983 called Scarface. So that's kind of the where he gets it from. And there's a great story that he had the name Razor. He didn't know like what they were going to do. Vince wanted to call him Razor something else because of Razor Ruddock, but he wanted to kind of use that name. He liked that nickname, but he couldn't think of a Spanish name. And when he's interviewing you, he's trying to pull stuff out of you and see what you can come up with so you can relate to the character and then play the character itself. Sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. Sometimes the guys mention something foolish from their past or say something they probably shouldn't have, and then it kind of buries them further or gives them like a dumb gimmick or a stupid gimmick. And then, you know, you kind of go on from there. But basically, he said he was at the office. He went to the bathroom. Vince said, give him a few ideas. Let him think of something. He ran to Tito Santana. Tito Santana said to him, what are you looking for? And he said, well, I'm looking for like a Spanish name. Because obviously, Scott Hall, even though he may look Spanish or Cuban, he's not. He's an Irish guy, Scott Hall. So when he asked Tito, Tito said, something with an R. What about Ramon? And the rest is history. He came back to Vince. He said, Razor Ramon. Vince absolutely loved it. He kind of did a, because Vince never saw Scarface before. Apparently doesn't know a lot of pop culture references, and he didn't really see a lot of movies, apparently, as the story goes. Don't know if that's true or not. But then basically he says to Vince, he does the whole Scarface, say hello to the bad guy, and say hello instead of, you know, say hello to my little friend, and say goodnight to the bad guy. That stuff, he kind of changed it and morphed it into say hello to the bad guy, and he changed his nickname to the bad guy. So cool stuff, obviously, all from Scarface, but very, very cool stuff. Absolutely love that. And really, he's cocky, he's cool, he's got machismo, he's this big brooding heel, he looks like a million bucks. And it's interesting to note that all this was there in the Diamond Stud character. This was all there, even the toothpick. I know the toothpick became a huge part of the thing and throwing the toothpick at the guy's face and doing all that other stuff. The Diamond Stud character, it was all there. That's Razor Ramon, and he just brought it to the WWF. So very, very interesting the way, you know, that all kind of goes down, and you're thinking like, oh, Vince created the character. He had that character. He had it in him. WCW just didn't utilize it. It didn't know how to utilize it correctly. So really his first match, like I said, 5/18/1992, Mr. Toothpick Thrower, Mr. Machismo, Mr. Cocky, Mr. Cool, Razor Ramon defeated Chris Hahn, Wrestling Challenge 301 Dark Taping in Cincinnati, Ohio. He would have his first TV match on Superstars Taping from Hamilton, Ontario on 6/1/1992, defeating Jim Powers in 8 minutes. He then defeats Jim Brunzell on a TV taping in Ottawa. Then he defeats the El Matador himself, Tito Santana, at a Superstars taping in Glens Falls, New York. A dark match. Maybe a little taste of, hey, let's see how this guy handles jobbing. But it was a dark match. Shockingly, Wrestling Challenge 307 dark match in Binghamton, New York. If you were there, you saw this, because you probably, hopefully, will never see it again. Virgil defeated Razor Ramon. Then he goes on a bunch of TV match victories on Superstars, defeating Jim Powers, Tony Roy, and Paul Van Dael. Paul Van Dael, the father of WWF female superstar Carmella. Then he goes on to defeat Joe Steele and Jerry Stevens, Jim Powers again. TV taping from Huntsville, where Razor Ramon defeats Virgil, thankfully, in 6 minutes. Defeated Joey Maggs, Nick Tarantino, Gary Jackson, and Glenn Ruth. You may know Glenn Ruth as Headbanger Thrasher. Then on a bunch of house shows, he's getting a big push here in the fall of 1992. I know it's just house shows, but these are huge victories. Defeating Macho Man Randy Savage in a bunch of house shows, and defeating Bret the Hitman Hart, as Bret Hart has obviously just lost the IC title and headed towards the World Wrestling Federation Championship. So very, very interesting there as far as Razor Ramon getting some more victories over on TV, then on house shows, defeating Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Then on some house shows, here's an interesting match from East Rutherford. I wish I was at this show. At the Brendan Byrne Arena, East Rutherford, New Jersey, the Big Boss Man, the Ultimate Warrior, and the Undertaker defeated Kamala, Nails, and Razor Ramon. How about that for a team? They had a repeat of that match in Baltimore, Boston, and Springfield, Mass. As well. Razor continues his winning ways, defeating Macho Man on a bunch of house shows, defeating El Matador Tito Santana on Wrestling Challenge, defeating Gary Jackson on Wrestling Superstars, defeating Mark Morgan on another Wrestling Challenge tapings, as he kind of continues his hot streak in the World Wrestling Federation, losing again in a six-man, 11/7/1992, the British Bulldog and the Natural Disasters, Earthquake and Typhoon, defeated Razor Ramon and Money Inc., IRS, and the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Then really his kind of first major show, it's a main event level match, technically not the main event, although the way they promoted it, you would think it was going to be the main event. But the main event, of course, of Survivor Series 1992 from the Richfield Coliseum in Richfield, Ohio, 11/25/1992, was Bret Hart defeating Shawn Michaels to retain his WWF World Championship. But here, Mr. Perfect and Macho Man Randy Savage defeated Razor Ramon and Ric Flair by disqualification in 16 minutes and 30 seconds. Interesting to note, of course, which you probably know already, is that this is a great match, and I absolutely love it, but the original partner for Randy Savage was supposed to be the Ultimate Warrior and the Ultimate Maniacs fighting Flair and the kind of debuting, if you will, as far as pay-per-views are concerned, Razor Ramon. He would then go on and a bunch of house shows, defeat the Big Boss Man, take a bunch of house show losses to The Undertaker. He defeats Big Boss Man on a Superstars taping, starts a little bit of a mini feud with Mr. Perfect, losing to him on house shows by a disqualification. And as he's kind of still being built back up, interesting to know, he's losing on a bunch of house shows by a countout to Mr. Perfect, leading into his next big pay-per-view, which he'll be a part of a main event, if you will. Technically speaking, you could say it's the main event, but really the Royal Rumble match itself ended up main eventing this show. It's 1/24/1993 WWF World Heavyweight Championship match from the Arco Arena in Sacramento, California. Bret Hart defeats Razor Ramon in 18 minutes in an awesome match. Absolutely love this match. Great match via with Bret and Razor Ramon here. So, you're welcome to pay-per-view Razor Ramon, and he's got a world title match, and he's in a tag match, tagging with Flair against Macho Man and Mr. Perfect. Just kind of shows you what they thought of him and you know, what they really were going to do with him and give him a major, major push within the World Wrestling Federation. And basically, you know, within 6 months, he's main eventing two pay-per-views, so to speak, or he's having himself on the poster. He's being a big part of those shows for sure. Then he's gonna be turning babyface very, very soon. He wins a 15-man battle royal on Raw number 5, defeating many legends, including Iron Mike Sharp and Bob Backlund in that match as well. That's Raw taping number 5. Then as he starts to move on and move up in the WWF, he's defeating Mr. Perfect on a bunch of house shows here. Still a heel, but you know, they're about to turn him babyface not so distant future. But him and Lex Luger are going to be losing a bunch of house shows to Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect all over this great land. Then of course WrestleMania 9, the biggest stars in the world are coming to Las Vegas, Caesar's Palace, Las Vegas, Nevada, 4/4/1993. Razor Ramon defeated Bob Backlund in about 4 minutes there. Then he's going to have a King of the Ring qualifying match. Razor Ramon defeats El Matador on Superstars taping number 345. When you look at what's going on with Razor, he's going to lose to Bret Hart on a dark match, part of Raw taping number 12, but he defeats Virgil in 7 minutes, part of Raw taping number 13 on 4/12/1993, loses to Tatanka on a bunch of house shows before finally taking a huge upset loss to the Kid, a.k.a. the 1-2-3 Kid, a.k.a. the Lightning Kid, Raw taping number 17, 5/17/1993, Manhattan Center, New York, New York. One of the most memorable moments ever in the history of Raw. Talk about making a guy that day, Razor Ramon, even though he's basically only 1 year into the company, he really made 1-2-3 Kid, really made Sean Waltman, and really made his career, if you really, really look at it that way. Then eventually his next big time match is he is the Intercontinental Champion. At this point, Razor Ramon, he's fighting the Intercontinental Champion at this point, Shawn Michaels. He's defeating Michaels on a bunch of house shows in Baltimore and in Madison Square Garden, New York as well. Before the King of the Ring, 6/13/1993, King of the Ring 93 from the Nutter Center in Dayton, Ohio, Bret Hart defeats Razor Ramon in 10 minutes, 30 seconds in an awesome match, a part of an awesome King of the Ring show where Bret Hart dominates, basically has three Match of the Year contenders all in one night. Then there's a $10,000 challenge match. Razor Ramon, 1-2-3 Kid, goes to a double count on 6/21/1983. As you know, Kid does run away with that money in 5 minutes. That, of course, was at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. Then, as we kind of move along and move towards the end of the Hogan era here, Razor Ramon basically is going to, you know, continue his winning ways, defeating Michaels on house shows, defeating Barry Horry and Dwayne Gill on TV. He's going to defeat Max Shane and Reno Riggins and Chris Duffy on TV as well. And he kind of really cements himself really as a babyface going forward. And that 1-2-3 Kid feud in the midst of it does change that feud. And he does end up turning babyface. Of course, the last match of the Hogan era that I consider the Hogan era is SummerSlam 93, because Hogan did leave in August. 8:30, 1993, Razor Ramon defeated Ted DiBiase, 7 minutes, 30 seconds. Good match from the Palace of Auburn Hills in Auburn, Michigan. Just to throw this out there about that match and then just that feud, great stuff from Razor. He showed he could work as a babyface or as a heel for sure. And as you kind of go through obviously that's the end of the Hogan era, but as you go through his career in WWF, multi-time Intercontinental Champion, main event guy, upper mid-card guy, he was always kind of considered that guy you need to beat if you were going to be a main eventer. He was kind of the tester, if you will. He played such a big role, intricate role. Sometimes people will call him a gatekeeper type, but he played definitely a huge role in the WWF going forward. A little feud with IRS for the IC title. Obviously, Razor Ramon wins that match and retains his Intercontinental title. Then, of course, WrestleMania 10, him and Shawn Michaels make the ladder match infamous. Great match there. Awesome stuff. But as far as Razor Ramon was concerned, they created this great character. He created this character. Vince kind of, obviously loved it as well. And it's one of those things where it's one of the most memorable characters of all time. He did such a great job with it. Then, of course, him and Kevin Nash go to WCW. Hulk Hogan turns heel. They create the NWO, and the rest is history as they changed wrestling forever, and they kind of saved the business there for quite a while. So if you just look at it in the Hogan era, it's quite a shame that Hogan didn't get a run against Razor Ramon. He didn't get a feud and didn't get some sort of match against Razor Ramon during that era. It's kind of the only regrettable thing I could think of about Razor Ramon during the Hogan era, but man, when you're kind of transitioning into another era and kind of changing gears, Razor Ramon, perfect guy you need on the roster. What a talent. One of the all-time greats. But let's hit the plugs. You follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two-Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Check out Patreon, patreon.com/tmptempire. And go to tpublic, tpublic.com/store/tmpt for more. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you right back here next time for a little Hogan Era Podcast. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/tmptempire to become a patron. And also check out the website, tmptempire.com. And buy a shirt at prowrestlingtees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
We're back with more WWF action. All right, Mr. Perfect, who started all of this? Did Randy Savage call you? Did he institute this alleged negotiation? Or was it you putting a bug in Randy Savage's ear?
You're an awful nosy guy, aren't you, pal?
From Miami, Florida.
Well, take a look at this.
Weighing 287 pounds, Razor Ramon.
How about this?
I've been waiting for this.
Now we're going to find out whether or not Razor Ramon, look at all that gold, can back up that rather haughty attitude of his.
certainly got the body to do it.
Actually, I didn't think he was this large. He is a monster of a man, isn't he? Razor Ramon making his debut. You can bet that he wants to make an auspicious occasion out of this. Razor Ramon ready to lock up with his opponent, Paul Van Dam.
Oh!
Well, there we see quite a display of strength on the part of Razor Ramon. All right, come on, let him up.
This man knows America, the land of opportunity.
Ooh, wow!
Did you hear that? Oh!
They heard it up in the rafters.
I like it already.
Razor Ramon ripped to the buckle in.
Oh,
my. Well, I must say I'm impressed thus far. Razor Ramon taking care of business. Oh, my, right in the face.
He told me if he would have been here 3 years ago by now, he'd be the World Wrestling Federation champion. He'd have his own hotel, his own golf course. He'd have everything he wanted.
Well, all he wants is what he has coming to him, allegedly.
Yeah.
The world and everything in it. The words of Razor Ramon.
What a great attitude that is. I like it.
Razor Ramon with Vandal. Oh, wow, look at that.
One hand.
Well, thus far, Razor Ramon has been able to back up his comments made throughout the weeks.
Look at the physique on this man. Kicking that garbage around the ring. You know I like that style.
You like the humiliation.
That's right.
Look at Razor Ramon. At will, slapping his opponent. Knowing full well that all of the eyes of the WWF are on him right now as he makes his debut. Wrestling in the squared circle.
He wants some competition. That's what he wants.
Paul Van Dam being hoisted to the top rope. Razor Ramon now from behind. What's going to happen? Oh, no. From the top. Look at that.
That's 15 feet in the air. He just dropped that man from. Machismo.
Razor Ramon may exude machismo. Look at this. What's going to happen?
What?
Uh-oh. What is this? Oh, no!
I have never seen a move like that before.
And an easy three count.
Look at the look in his eye, man.
As he says, look at me. Machismo, it's Razor Ramon. Machismo, all right, but I'm not so sure it's macho.
We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Take a look at me. I am Razor Ramon. I am somebody important, man. Me? I'm like Adam in the Garden of Eden. I'm the only real man. Everybody, they want to be like me. Little kids, they want to grow up and be like me. Bambinos, forget about school. What you learn in a book cannot make you like Razor. You want to be like Razor? You got to do like Razor. You just take whatever you want.
Senor.
You got a problem with me taking whatever I want?
No, ningún problema.
And if there's anybody else who don't like me taking whatever I want in the WWF, we're going to have a really big problem, Chico.